Welcome to the Food Freedom Habit Podcast, where you can find freedom from food crazies using nothing but your own brain. With me, Lydia, the lifestyle coach. Would you like permanent food and body peace without tracking one trigger or calorie? Whether you're dealing with overeating, binge eating, bulimia, food obsession, body hate, or the endless diet cycle? We do all this without delving into past trauma, starting yet another food plan, or monitoring every meal. Live a free life aligned with your health and values. If you're ready for something real, you're in the right place. All episodes are 100% free, so please subscribe to and review our podcast. And we are ending binge eating and bulimia and food obsession, body hate, all of the yo-yo dieting, all of the ups and downs and the food cravings and the sugar addictions and the emotional eating, all the labels that we put on that. What's really beautiful is that you can end that at its root. And so you're not trying to manage your brokenness. You're not trying to avoid your triggers. You just don't have an eating disorder anymore. You don't have that struggle anymore. And that's what we've seen with literally thousands of women now. And we're going to be talking about a really common element of this struggle with food, which is the eating stress response. And this is a really important thing to know for what it does to you internally, for what it does to you in like the lifelong journey of your health. And it's an important one to look at. So let's go ahead and break it down today. And we're going to start talking about how it's supposed to go, right? Like how our bodies are really created to function and what's really going to serve you best there, what the normal response is. And then what happens when we get into this distorted relationship with food and how that really ties into your everyday. And then what it's really like on the other side and how to get there for being able to go back to how our bodies are meant to function. And our bodies are amazing, you guys. Bodies are incredibly complex and incredible, and they're self-healing and they are so adaptive and designed in such a beautiful way. But what's really interesting is what's very popular, which is the yo-yo dieting and the restriction and trying to control our bodies, fights against our biology so strongly, and in not only ways that create misery, but in ways that literally kill us. And it's an important thing to understand and know. And this is something that's come up all throughout history, right? There's something that's super popular that people are doing, like, oh, you know what? You're feeling bad. You're feeling stressed. You got too much blood in your body. You got to do some bloodletting. You got to let that out. So that was the practice. It's like slit somewhere in your body, let a bunch of blood pour out, and you're going to feel so much better afterwards. And then mysteriously, you know, people would die. And it's like, oh, wow, I guess they really weren't doing well because they died. But it was just a very, very bad practice that didn't serve people. You know, the idea that, you know, something's wrong, well, you must have some evil spirits in you, so why don't you just like whip yourself a bunch of times, get the evil spirits out? It seems like an effective solution when everyone around you is doing it and raving about it. But then when we look back at history, we're like, that's ridiculous. Even look back at the 80s, right? Oh, fat is evil. Don't eat anything with fat. Get rid of the coconut oil and the olive oil and, you know, never have an egg because it has an egg yolk. And everything that isn't fat is just going to be great for you. So this was the Little Debbie, this was the Snackwell generation, right? And that's just a couple of decades ago. Like that was within most of our lifetimes with those of you who are listening. And pour sugar on everything. Like have sugary cereal, pour some sugar on top, pour some honey on top of that. Because it doesn't have fat, and that's going to be health. And then everybody started getting diabetes, and then it wasn't adult diabetes, it wasn't late onset diabetes, it was, you know, kids were getting diabetes because of this fad that everyone looked around and said, oh, that's the way to go. And now we have the, oh, well, now fat is great. Eat a thing of butter, pour some coconut oil down your throat. It's going to be awesome just as long as you cut out the carbs. So there are very bad ideas in each juncture of history, and the ones who survive and the ones who thrive are the ones who are able to really examine and not just accept, oh, well, this is what everyone's doing, great, but able to see, like, does this actually serve me? Is this actually working? Diets have a 98% failure rate, and yet so many of us are gearing up to do another one, and it's going to be different this time. And so it's really important to understand the truth about what happens with food and our relationship with food instead of just, you know, looking at whatever you know, Facebook ad comes across that's trying to sell you some new gimmick or some new diet and think that because other people are doing it, that it's correct. So that's really why we have this here. That's so you have good and real information. So let's talk about the stress response. Stress is amazing. Stress is something that is there to save your life. Stress is something that is designed by our bodies to, when we have a threat, to be able to focus in a very specific way to get out of that threat. So how it works is, let's look at our biology, right? Like the genes that we have inherited from, you know, many, many generations of humans. It's when there's a tiger that's all of a sudden up in your face, your body goes into an extreme stress response. So that is either fight, flight, or freeze. And your hormones change in your body. Your focus goes to a place where all you're doing is focusing on that one thing. Like, you know, there could be a clown dancing to the right, but like, you're not going to see that clown because there's a tiger right in front of you. Like your brain blocks out everything except the thing that is the threat. And that is a life-saving function. And with that rush of hormones, with everything that happens in your brain and biology in that moment that the threat is in front of you, your body is meant to put a big surge toward fixing that problem or getting out or hiding or whatever needs to happen. And then once the threat is gone, your body is designed to go back to regulating your hormones, to go back to regulating your heart rate, to go back to regulating your thoughts. And so you have these spikes of there's a threat, and then you get to relax, and then a spike of there's a threat, and then you get to relax. Now, the big problem that happens is that that's the normal stress response. But the deadly part of this is when it's a long-term sustained stress response. And we see this very, very clearly in our world, and we have all the science and studies to back it up. You take somebody who is under constant stress. Maybe they're in a really awful relationship. Maybe they're in a super stressful job. Maybe they have, you know, they're life threatened constantly. And when their body isn't able to come back to that normal regulated place where all of the everything can calm down, that elevated stress response creates a lot of problems. It creates disease. It creates cell breakdown. It creates a heart attack and panic attacks and hypertension. I mean, pretty much name any problem that people have in their health or in their wellness, and the constant stress response is a big part of why that happens. Our bodies are not designed to sustain that super hyper focused fight, flight, or freeze for long periods of time. It will kill you in short bursts. Then you survive because you get away from it. In long sustained stress, then it kills you. It cuts your life short. It cuts your quality of life. It's the thing that we're all trying to avoid. But we already live in a world where there's a lot, right? There is constant pinging of stress responses. So instead of us just wandering around and then seeing a tiger every once in a while, we have tigers that pop up at us all the time, right? Like we have a text that stresses us out. We have an email. We have a conversation with somebody that makes us worried. You can literally scroll the news and just have all of this come up in you of like this stress response that really keeps it sustained all day. And that's why so many people are in exhaustion and overwhelm. And it's a wonderful thing to have the tools to escape that and calm down. But here's how it all comes around to a distorted relationship with food. If you are in this yo-yo cycle of restricting and overeating, or restricting and binging, or binging and purging, or all of the awful cycles that we get into, it's not just in the moment that you're binging that you have that stress response. It's not just afterwards when you feel so awful. What happens with an eating disorder, and whether you're calling it an eating disorder or not, let's call it stress eating. Isn't that interesting, right? We call it stress eating. Oh, I eat when I'm stressed, but I also eat when I'm happy, but I'm going to label it, I'm a stress eater. It's like, oh, well, I'm stressed and I eat, so I got to avoid stress so that I don't eat, but then that's stressing me out, and so I do eat. You get so stuck. And we have to deal with food every single day. There are some people who will try to fast and avoid food. That actually is one of the quickest ways to create an eating disorder, by the way, you guys. If you start fasting, that is one of the quickest ways to develop an eating disorder. 1 in 4 people that are dieters will develop an eating disorder. And like that's something that came out that's documented, but the numbers are even higher when we think of all the people that aren't saying that they have an eating disorder, that just do this weird thing where they feel out of control and they can't have one cookie, and when they have one cookie then they end up having a dozen and they feel so bad about it and they, you know, go on a fast the next day. Like, you have to have food in your life. It will always be a part of your everyday life for the rest of your life. And when you have a stress response that is associated with food, that means sustained stress every day for the rest of your life. Every meal, every morning. So at each meal, we start having stress about the right thing to eat, or how much to eat, or how that should be balanced, or what's going to be the choice that isn't going to set us off. Every morning we wake up with a stress response of, you know, we have to make up for what we did the night before, and that just wasn't okay. And then we're going to do better today, and we're going to start with a green smoothie, and we're going to find all the ways to avoid binging today. We, before every single meal, get stressed out because we don't know exactly how it's going to go. What if I'm not satisfied? What if I get to the end of it and I'm just so scared because I'm panicking because it's my last bite, and then I go back and I start eating stuff in the cupboard, and then I just keep going. After every meal, we're stressed out. Well, I don't know if I had enough. I'm still hungry. What's wrong with me that I still have cravings? Well, you know, or I ate way too much and, you know, now the day is blown anyway. And why did I do that? And why did I get so full? And like, why am I eating so unhealthy? Or all of the guilt and the shame that comes after each meal, and you know, the guilt and the torment of, did we make the right choice, or that we definitely made the wrong choice and are beating ourselves up about that. Every meal that you don't have, every meal that you skip, there's a stress response because, well, maybe we shouldn't have skipped it, or maybe we should have skipped it, or maybe we're being good because we skipped it, but then am I going to be too hungry later, and then am I going to binge? What you ate at every meal, the content of every meal, how each meal is impacting you, being able to feel our belief of like we're eating carbs and so it's putting fat on our bodies, the stress response. I remember, man, back in my crazy days, I would eat something that didn't feel super perfect and clean, and I would feel my blood sugar rise. I would feel all the damage it was doing to my body and my cells. I would feel that the fat was just sticking to my stomach and my thighs. And it was a real, tangible, scary feeling that I almost worried that I would go into a panic attack at some point. And it had nothing to do really with the food that I was eating. It was all of the fear and the stress around it. It was the stress response that came from how scared I was with food. And food becomes more and more of a big deal. So it's not just this sustained stress response. It's that the stress response gets more and more impactful, where it's harder to handle every single time. Now, in addition to all the psychological stress response because of food, we also have a stress response because of the way that we're eating. So binging is very hard on your body. Going through the drive-through 3 times is very hard on your body. Going all day without eating and then eating huge quantities of food is very difficult on your body and digestion. Like, so there's a stress response on top of that. Then when we go to restriction, when we go to the other side of it and say, okay, well, I'm not going to eat and I'm going to cut out some foods and I'm just going to skip a few meals and I've got to feel better and I've got to have a reset, I've got to have a cleanse. That is a huge stress response for your body. Your body is designed to be able to have enough fat storage to survive a famine. Your body's designed to be able to eat and digest and know where its next meal is coming from, or if it doesn't, to be okay. And when we're constantly in this state of famine, when our body is always worried that the food is going to go away again, then that stress response not only is really awful for our health, but it teaches us to store that visceral fat, that fat all around the middle, to protect our organs, to make sure that we have enough storage for the famine. And so what starts happening is it gets harder and harder to diet and lose weight. The weight comes back quicker and quicker. And then when the weight does come back, then it's at the places that we're most terrified of. So maybe we lose weight all over and then we gain it back the first time. But then by the 10th time, we lose the weight. And then when it comes back, then it goes to straight to our stomachs, straight to our thighs, all of these places that we're wanting so badly for it to go away. But we're teaching our body to store fat that way because of this sustained stress response with food. So one of the most important things is to, at its root, fix that relationship with food. So not only are you out of an eating disorder, and not only can you have that freedom, but that you can approach food no matter what kind of food it is. You can be around it, you can eat it, you can live with it, people around you can eat it, and you're not creating all of the stress around it. You can just have this peace and you can have this calm. So remember the tiger, right? The tiger is there, the threat is right in front of you, and it blocks out everything around you. Your brain literally blocks out anything else because there's just the threat there. Now here is the really sad truth about what happens when food becomes that tiger that we're worried about attacking us. Is everything on the periphery, our children, the people that we love, our families, our careers, being in touch with ourselves, finding purpose in life, enjoying the things that we've worked so hard for, being able to have quiet moments, being able to connect with the world around us. All of that just becomes a blur because the food stress response focuses us so much on the food. That's why your child can have a conversation with you and you can't hear what they're saying because you've got all of these like voices and chatter in your head talking about what's in the cupboard and how are you going to not eat it once they go to bed, and maybe you shouldn't have had that one thing, and do we have those snacks, and counting all the calories from the day and figuring out all the macros. And it's blocking out the people that you love right in front of you. It means that you can go on a vacation with your family and look at the pictures and everything is blocked out. The memory, what you guys were doing, you know, how your kids looked playing in the water, you know, the romantic evening with your partner, like all of that is blocked out because when you look back at that memory, all you are seeing is that stress response focusing you in on how does your body look and how did you eat on that day and what has to change and what you're beating yourself up about. It blocks out the rest of our lives. So to really be done with this, to be able to relax and have that calm mind, what has to happen is you need to end it on the relationship with food level. So we need to be able to take this huge stressor and make it not a stressor anymore. Because when you try to just control it, right? When you say food is the enemy, food is my addiction, food is the devil, and you're just trying to avoid your triggers and avoid food, it's just driving up that stress response. It's making it more of a big deal. So what we do with our clients, literally in week one, the very first thing that we teach them is how to take that stress response and turn it around so that in the moment, when they feel that anxiety and that stress around food and when everything else is getting blocked out and when they feel like they're out of control and now they've had one cookie, then they can't stop thinking about it until they have 10 more. In that very moment, giving them the tools to have full control, to relax their mind, and to change their relationship with food, literally rewire their connections around food and stress and disconnect those things. So food is just food. And they can on demand be able to have complete calm and peace around that. And something really beautiful that I wanted to bring to awareness on this is with the stress response, it's all about the material. Your brain and body are designed that way because it's not going to think about other things that aren't the material right in front of you. It's just going to think about the tiger. It's just going to think about the tree that you need to climb. And so it becomes a very material world when you're in this stress place. And so the really beautiful thing that we see over and over with the hundreds of women that after 4 decades of struggling with an eating disorder can now have that calm and that peace around food and don't have a struggle with it anymore is that they're able to connect with the things in their world that are so important, that aren't just the material right there in front of them, that aren't just the calories, that aren't just the physical, you know, reflection in the mirror of their body, that aren't just the stress response focus. They're able to connect on the intangible, the things that make life so meaningful. They're able to connect with the feelings of hunger and fullness. They're able to connect with enjoying their food. I love one of our recent clients who, after about 35 years of an eating disorder, it was about the 4-week mark for her that she was able to be completely done and free from the struggle. She said in her very first week with us working with her, she's like, I'm tasting food for the first time in my life. I can taste my food. Because that stress response means you're only focused on the problem, right? And once the problem is gone, she's like, it's amazing to be able to enjoy food and be satisfied by food and actually taste it. She's like, I didn't even realize how much I was missing that. We have so many women that are now in touch with their bodies. Like, they can feel when something is wrong or when something is right. They can feel what they enjoy. They can connect back with themselves and not feel like their body is this other thing that they disconnect from and that they're scared of and they need to fight or they need to wrestle down and make it do something. And that spiritual, that connection, that being able to really connect with purpose and intuition and focusing on more than just the material is a really beautiful, beautiful part of life. And if that is something that you've been missing because you're in this constant stress with food, know that the calm and the energy and just the beauty on the other side of that is absolutely available as long as you fix this at its root. That's such an important thing. To stop with all of the quick fixes and the gimmicks and the, well, as soon as we get the weight off, something will change. That has never worked and it's never going to work. And if you really want something real, being able to go into a new decade and a new year and to do something finally real that fixes the problem instead of just makes it worse or puts a Band-Aid on it, the first step is to be able to get the foundation of freedom, which is clarity. And to really get clarity about what is happening right now, about that stress response, about what's truly happening. And then to really get that clarity on what that freedom is for you on the other side of this. And once your brain has those two points of contact, then you can be able to move toward that. But you need to be able to know how to do that. And that's why we have free breakthrough sessions where we do a complimentary session where we will lead you through this foundation of freedom so you can have that for yourself. This is a life-changing experience, and this is something that we are willing to offer because it's so important, and we want everyone to be able to be free and truly do what works to fix their eating disorder and to fix this struggle so they don't have to die from stress. You deserve a life where you can feel good. You deserve a life where you can be able to have a meal with your family and move forward and not have it be an awful situation, to have it be a loving and wonderful situation. You deserve a life where you can connect with yourself and your purpose and move forward instead of go round and round in the same small circle for the rest of your life. And if you want that, if you want that better life for yourself, and if you choose that, then the first step is that breakthrough session.
Pop over to lydialifestyle.com/session. That's lydialifestyle.com/session.
And book a session and make sure you block that off, show up for yourself, and we will absolutely serve you to this foundation of freedom. And this is Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach, signing off. Bye, guys. Mwah.
Thanks for tuning in. If you felt a spark here and want to see how these principles can work in your own life, here is your next step. Pop over to lydialifestyle.com/session. That's lydialifestyle.com/session, where you can book a free session with our team. We'll give you a call and together find clarity on three things. 1, the exact cycle you keep getting sucked into. 2, what isn't working with your approach. And 3, what's missing to close the gap between food prison and food freedom. We have helped free hundreds of women all over the world from their food struggles. These are proven principles that work, no matter how long you've been stuck. This is Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach, signing off.